Hello, everybody.
Hola.
Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast, where we review and talk about new movie releases. I'm Emily Glazer.
I'm Jonathan Pyle, and this is Beans.
This is Beans, our dog.
Beans Pyle?
Mm-hmm.
Pyle of Beans?
I look a little nicer than I normally look, and that's because I have a work event after this. So, you know, everybody enjoy that I don't look like trash today. Just saying.
I know I am. I'm just kidding.
Whatever. You look the same as always.
Yep. Gym shorts and t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. It's not like you do your makeup or anything that would make you look fancier.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? So.
I do my makeup every day. This is what I always look like.
Couple of intros. We are going to spoil the whole movie as we talk about it. Also, follow us on Letterboxd. We talk about where we post the movie on Letterboxd before we talk about it. I always forget to check and see if anybody wrote anything, but I highly doubt that they did.
Nobody did.
So I'm not worried about it. So follow us there if you want to at DI_podcast. Also, Beans is like chewing her bone directly on top of the computer. So hopefully that doesn't mess with the audio or anything. Let's see. Okay. There you go, Beans. Continue as you were, as you were. Okay, everybody. First segment of the podcast is what are we watching right now?
We just watched Night and Day.
Yes, the Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz, wonderful movie, classic movie.
I've seen that movie like at least 15 times.
It's so good because he's honestly like kind of playing somebody who is nothing like what he plays now. Like it's exactly just a basic action movie, which is him, but the guy is kind of like a jokester and dweeby, and he says like really stupid stuff. Like he's kind of made out to be like so into the spy life that he's completely disconnected from like normal culture and life. Agreed. Whereas in the Mission Impossibles, he's like badass.
Serious.
He's got everything together. He's serious. What else are we watching? We watched the Patagonia special of Top Gear.
Oh, yeah.
Season Rory's. 22, episode 1 and 2.
Rory's watching Top Gear.
I love Top Gear. I can watch it all the time.
Slash
it's so
Grand
funny.
Tour. Yeah.
And I love it when I forget them so we can I can then rewatch them anew because it appears that we're not going to get any more of them unless they come out with a third show they've been kicked off of their second show. Oh, I hope they do. I love their show so much. Also, like, you shouldn't do things that get him kicked off a show, but I'm still going to be sad about it because I'm selfish.
Me too.
And I love that show. It's just so darn funny. He should just be a little bit of a nicer person sometimes.
I love British humor.
I don't love British humor, but I love Top Gear. It's really
that
funny.
That is the epitome of British humor,
though. Is it really? I guess I like British humor then.
Maybe it's, well, I guess it's because each of them are so like, each of their personalities just blend like that.
They mesh so well. Like whoever picked them three,
I know.
Like, top notch. You have made millions of dollars like putting that group together
and
in the casting.
Big cultural impact.
I know. I had always assumed that they were like buddies beforehand and they like decided to make a show, but it turns out they all like auditioned to be on Top Gear.
Yeah.
And they got placed together and just worked out so well. And their job seems horrible. Like it seems like they do not enjoy doing it. But then the like 3 weeks of pain for them turns into 2 hours of like
pure hilarity.
Hilarity. Is that a word, hilarity?
I'm pretty sure.
No.
I could be wrong.
Well, one other thing we're watching is, or I watched half of The Last Voyage of Demeter. Watched half of it. Because you were working.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. I was working.
And then you got off work and I was like, I'm going to leave now. Go see Jonathan. So, not a great movie. I'm not going to lie.
Not by any means of the word. Yes. And then we also watched Fargo, too.
Oh, my gosh. And we watched Fargo, which is just a classic. So,
you betcha.
Do you want to intro the movie for today, my love?
Talk to me. Apologize if I mispronounced this. Directed by Danny and Michael Philippou. Philippou?
Sure. Philippou? I have no idea how to say
I think
that.
It's Philippou. I think that's what it is. Anyways,
apologies if it's wrong.
This is their debut film. They've got a YouTube channel called I literally forgot the name of it already. Anyway, they got a super popular YouTube channel with like skits and stuff, and then this is their directorial debut.
I love how like YouTubers somehow are able to now become directors because of their YouTube channels. That's just crazy.
Yeah, like Chris Duckman.
Yeah, you've been talking about that guy's movie forever. So is it gonna be like in theaters?
Yeah, probably.
Wow. That's exciting.
I mean,
so
maybe a limited release.
I saw that Talk to Me came out in 2022. Was it technically like released in Australia first or something and then came to the States?
So I think it was released at, well, no, Sundance was in January, right? Because I think it was a It hit the film festival circuit. I don't remember if it was Sundance or South by Southwest. But so technically it came out in 2022. I'm logging it that it came out in 2023 because that's when I watched it and that's when it came to a theater near us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Yeah, I mean, that's why we're reviewing it, because it just came out in theaters for us.
Yeah, true. So if you saw this 6 months ago,
forgive
this isn't
us,
new.
We're behind. The Americas are behind. Don't talk to me.
The movie stars Sophia Wilde as Mia in her first role, or first leading role. And she's like really good. She's insanely good in this.
She was wonderful, yeah.
Joe Bird as Riley, Miranda Otto as Sue. And
I liked Joe Bird too. He had good actoral potential.
The potential
for a child
there.
Actor, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Miranda Otto because she was in...
I've seen her too.
The Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh.
Like legit, I completely like blanked on that. What else was she in? Let me look. She was in Talk to Me. War of the Worlds? I don't remember when she was there. The Thin Red Line? But yeah, I knew I recognized her. She is an Australian actress, of course.
No.
Yeah, crazy. And Alexandra Jensen as Jade, as
Mia's bestie for the rest of you.
Yeah, Mia's bestie and sister.
But they did not seem like good friends. Like, they did not seem like they had a healthy friendship relationship.
I think that's just how those
Australians?
Kids...
I don't know. They just were like weird. I guess that's maybe how high school kids are.
That's how
maybe
they are,
that's
I
why
think.
I had no friends in high school.
Maybe.
Well, I did not have friends. I just didn't have like the abundance of friends like the popular kids. I just had like a small group. So I guess to be like
that's
popular,
you
gotta be like that, maybe? I don't know. Honestly, the popular kids at my school were never mean to me directly. Maybe they were behind my back and I didn't know it.
Probably.
But yeah.
No. Any guesses on the budget?
100 million.
4.5 million.
What?
This was a low budget movie, babe.
$4.5 million?
Yeah.
Were they wearing their own outfit, like their own clothes for the costumes? I guess all of it just took place in like people's basements and then like a generic hospital
set. Yeah, and then some prosthetics and a little bit of CGI here and there. And
wow. The sound was phenomenal.
Best sound design I've heard in a movie in a long time. I mean,
the sound is what made it so scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really well done.
Oh my gosh. $4 million. How is it done in the box office?
$36
million. Oh, that's a success.
Big success. Biggest... A24 opening since Hereditary, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought A24 just had a huge movie come out. Like Nope. Didn't Nope do really good?
Nope wasn't A24.
What about The Whale?
The Whale was A24.
Wow. It's 30 million. Well, honestly, like they're catering to like a very niche but large audience of like teenage horror movies.
It is niche and large at the same time.
Yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, it's done really, really well.
You know, like I wouldn't consider the Avengers movies niche. I would consider them mainstream.
Oh, for sure.
But this is niche. A large niche. One of the biggest niches I've ever seen.
As far as theater experiences go, this was one of the most intense we've ever had. And you weren't even there for half of it.
Okay, I just want to say something, because all I ever want to do on this podcast is just want to say something. I don't walk out of movies, okay? I never walk out of movies.
You have before, though.
Not unless I'm like specifically bored. I never walk out of a movie because I like cannot handle it anymore. I normally walk out of movies because I think they're boring. Hmm. Like I walked out of what was that one movie? The bank robber movie.
I can't believe you. That's
what
one
was
of my
it?
Favorite movies
what was
ever.
It? Just say the name.
Hell or High Water.
What was with the anticipation? How could you do something like this to
that
me?
That movie's
I
not boring at all.
No, I was so bored in Hell or High Water. I walked out and I peened. I walked out and I went and saw War Dogs instead. And then I walked out of obviously Last Voyage at the Demeter, but that's because it wasn't that good and I wanted to go hang out with you rather than watch it. And I walked out of this movie because it was so, I could not watch it anymore.
Yeah, you
it was
weren't
so
okay.
Intense. And I'm really good with horror movies. Like horror movies, they don't give me nightmares. They don't scare me of the dark. And this one didn't either. It was just the shock factor of it was so aggressive. And the sound was so like, just like well done to like to the point where like even just effective. Hearing it was terrifying. So like for a solid 10 minutes before I walked out, I was covering my eyes and my ears, which is something I don't do in movies.
Yeah, you're,
like
yeah,
normally I can handle it. But I honestly think that like they didn't give you breaks like in between the horror. Like normally in movies you get like the time of suspense, character development, story development, like time to breathe.
You just got like a
and maybe
couple
like a little
tiny,
bit of comic relief sometimes.
Like 5 minute scenes where
yeah.
nothing happened.
You just got like basic scenes that were like obviously building up to something scary. So it was either horror or anticipation of horror. There was never like anything else in it.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was too much for me. Like it was 0 to 100. Like maybe the first 5 minutes of it were scary. And then you had a little bit of a break for story. Like they had like maybe 7 minutes of character development. And then it was just like instantly awful for like the rest of the movie. Like it was too much. I couldn't do it. And also like the whole premise of the movie was
it's
literally
nothing
just
new,
like,
you know,
letting ghosts like into your body, basically being the newest self-destructive trend amongst teenagers.
Yep.
Basically is what it was. It was like the Tide Pods.
Yeah.
Like fad and everything like that. So before we talk about the plot, I want to talk about like the entire premise of the movie and the basis of the entire storyline and like what exactly the kids are doing. So like in the instance of Tide Pods, they eat Tide Pods and they melt their esophagus and they kill people. And it was a terrible trend. And it was really, really sad that people die from it. In this instance in the movie, what they were doing is like the new trend amongst the kids was you light a candle, of course. It's just like the Haunted Mansion movie. You know, you light a vanilla candle and it's going to change everything. I just loved that little quote from that movie. I thought the Haunted Mansion movie was so good. So you light a candle to like open the door to the spirit world. And then they had this like white hand statue.
An embalmed hand.
Yeah, it was the embalmed hand of like a very powerful medium, apparently. That's what the kids said. And so you hold the hand of the statue. And then when you're holding the hand, if you say the words, talk to me, you will then see a spirit in front of you. And every time you say it, talk to me, you'll see a new spirit in front of you. Like they'll cycle through different ones. And so next, if you then, while you're holding the hand, say, I let you in, the spirit will then possess your body and like take over your body. So basically, if you let the spirit stay in your body for more than 90 seconds, it will latch onto you and it will be able to continue to possess you and haunt you until you die.
Who would have seen this coming? Not me.
And the only way to end a possession is to blow out the candle. That's what will end it. Which to me sounds simple enough, but these kids just can't seem to get a hang of it. And honestly, I don't know why these children are trusting the rest of their lives on other people blowing out a candle for them because
there's no way to save themselves.
They just have to hope their friends will blow out the candle within 90 seconds. And obviously they're very bad at it because that is what brings on the rest of the movie.
It's just what they do.
It's what they don't blow out the candles.
Never. Teens never blow out the candles these days.
You thought the only threat of not blowing out a candle is that you could burn down your house, but also you could haunt yourself and kill your family and yourself all together.
Nice.
Yeah. Blow out candles, kids. Blow out the candles.
No matter how many they are.
Make a wish
breaths.
That you won't die because you didn't blow out the candle. Multiple breaths.
That's okay. It's embarrassing, but it's still okay.
What are you talking about?
It's embarrassing when you have to take multiple breaths to blow out candles. You
I
do
know,
it all
but
month.
Like, how do you think the old people feel? You know, their lungs are aged and they have to blow out 90 candles. Honestly, when
Darwinism.
I'm 90, just buy me a nice cake. I don't need to blow out candles. I didn't have a birthday cake or blow out candles this year. I'm fine.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you're 90, it's almost just like they do it as like public embarrassment. Try to blow out the candles. You can.
I haven't seen a whole lot of old people blow out candles.
I just see it like in the Instagram videos when like something bad happens and you laugh at it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Where like, I don't know. You've never seen like in the movies or like on Instagram videos like
maybe
old
in a movie.
A million candles to blow out.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that in a movie before.
Okay, whatever. Moving on. This conversation is going nowhere. Okay, so of course the ghosts decide to target the weaker minds, or maybe not weaker, but the people who are subject to manipulation. because they're going through rough times. So they're subjecting, they're targeting a girl who is grieving the tragic death of her mother, and who wants to be able to speak to her mother and get closure. And they also target a young boy who is like 14 years old and probably not old enough to, I don't know, understand the implications of his actions, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So this was a very well-made horror movie. The sound was very good, but I could not watch it. So if you can watch this, you are stronger than me, and I respect you. And like, I hope that you had a good time.
Hereditary is chump change compared to this movie.
I never literally saw Hereditary because I heard it was so brutal. I didn't think there this was going to be brutal. I thought it was going to be like a cutesy, like something, something, you know?
A cutesy something, something?
Yeah, like a normal casual horror flick where you just kind of have a good time watching it and there's a couple of jump scares and you like move on.
Yeah, no, it was
that's what I thought this was going to be. Like a Conjuring. Gosh, I love the Conjuring movies. Those are good.
I just don't like those. I don't enjoy those.
I think those are good.
But this, I still enjoyed even though it was pretty terrifying.
You enjoyed it?
Like it's an excellent... I can respect it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen a movie quite like this.
Yeah. I've never seen a horror movie execute.
In terms of presentation and uniqueness.
Especially for how like small their budget was. They probably had to get really creative with the way that they did things.
$100 million.
Just
that's
a casual $4 million. But I don't know. That just blows my mind.
The scene, the second possession scene where shit goes crazy.
Yeah.
I was filmed in like less than an hour.
Every single one of them?
No, just the second one.
The second one.
The most brutal one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was filmed in like less than an hour.
Just Riley's scene?
Yeah, the filming.
Why don't you tell me that fun fact when we're talking about it so people actually know what we're talking about?
I don't know.
Everybody, I'm going to do my best to talk about the plot, but there's only so much I could do. I appreciate Wikipedia for helping me put together the last half of the movie plot. And Jonathan, you're just going to have to like chime in with the little bits and little parts that I'm like missing or not explaining well. So
yeah, even I didn't catch it all. I was kind of
just shocked. And that's the thing, like with Oppenheimer, we could watch it twice, get all the Easter eggs. I'm never watching this movie again. Like 1,000,000% never watching it again.
I could watch it again and
if you paid
less
me
terrified.
$4 million, I would watch it again.
How about $1,000? I would do it for like $100.
Honestly, like even thinking about it, like watching it again is so painful. Like part of my mind is like, I don't know if I want to watch
it. It's crazy because you're a lot more...
I'm good with body stuff.
You're good
stuff.
With horror movies.
I'm good with like body stuff and horror movies. Like I can watch it and like be fine. Like I've seen open heart surgeries and like open throat surgeries.
I've seen things.
And I'm fine with watching it. I can't handle it on myself though. Like try to drill a cavity and I'll faint. But like yeah, I can watch it on other people all day. Okay. Are we ready to get into the plot? Let's do it. So the movie starts out with a guy walking through a house party. He's looking for his brother who has apparently locked himself in a bedroom. So this guy, his name is Cole, the guy who's looking for his brother. He breaks down the door to get to his brother. And his brother proceeds to stab him and then stab himself in the head with a knife. And they just leave it at that. Like you have no idea why he did it. And you figure that out later in the movie as to why. So they then cut to a new storyline. They introduce a girl named Mia. She's 17. She is in high school and she's struggling with the 2-year anniversary of her mother's tragic passing. She believes her mother's death was an accident, but it's apparent some people question that and yeah, they think it might have been a suicide. So she hasn't really taken the death well of her mother. Obviously, that's a hard thing to go through. And she, in turn, has an estranged relationship with her father. She believes wholeheartedly that her mother's death was accidental to her having taken sleeping pills and been unable to get help before she died. And it seems like Mia almost like holds her dad to blame for her mother's death because
yeah,
he was sleeping on the couch when her mother was upstairs dying from taking the pills.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Mia is super close and besties with this girl named Jade and Jade's little brother, Riley. So they sneak out one night to go to a house party that's hosted by this other person at their school named Haley, where the entire point of the party is for people to use the embalmed hand to be possessed in the means that I discussed previously.
Might as well do
hold the hand, get possessed. Oh my gosh, so fun. And then you take them out of the possession. And so Mia volunteers to go first. It's obvious at the party that everybody doesn't really like Mia. It seems like they kind of have, you know, preconceived notions about her because of her mother's passing, and probably Mia went through a hard time and wasn't, you know, at school being the happy-go-lucky person that people expect to see in high school. And people, it seems like, have kind of like gotten bad connotations associated to her.
Yeah, you could definitely pick up on that. And the fact that she was Daniel's ex.
Yes. So yes. Mia's bestie Jade is dating this guy named Daniel. And turns out in the past, Mia and Daniel had kind of like a fling, but it seems like it never got serious. Like maybe when they were like 14 or something.
Yeah.
So there's like also that weird tension of like, well, Jade is dating this guy now, but Mia dated him in the past.
They're best
friends.
Kind
of weird. And now Mia and Jade are friends along a little bit of a love triangle. And they kind of play it off in the movie. Like Mia still kind of has a thing for Daniel.
Yeah. No, they definitely do. Because she still does.
Which is like crappy. Like, you don't do that. Like, if this if it's your best friend, you don't even think for a millisecond that the person that they are with is like attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like,
do you know what
that's
I mean?
That's friend code.
It's like my closest friends are like family to me. So then my closest friends dating somebody in like completely makes whoever they're dating family as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, you're not attracted to family. So Mia, of course, volunteers to go first. And she gets possessed by a spirit. While she is possessed, the spirit is basically like threatening Riley. And for some reason they really liked Riley and they focused on him, saying that they wanted him pretty much. And like Riley is like super scared and he's fazed by it.
Oh, right. I totally forgot that part happened.
Yeah. So one of the things that happened when Mia was possessed is that she was possessed for longer than 90 seconds, before they could get her out of it. So I don't know why it was so hard for them to blow out the candle. For some reason, they were trying to take the hand out of her hand and she was holding on to it rather than just blow out the candle, which seems like the easiest means to get her out of the possession.
Yeah, that is a little weird why they're...
Like, it's so weird. I don't know. I don't really understand why they were doing that. But
I don't get that either.
So one of the things that happens when they're possessed is like their pupil almost like gets to be the size of their iris and it's black. And as the possession goes on, like their pupil gets bigger and bigger to almost encompass their eyes. And it seems like when you hit the 90-second mark, when it fully encompasses your eyes, and that's when they like fully are able to take
have
a grasp
control
on you and have control over you. And so that happened to Mia. In my opinion, I don't understand why anybody would be willingly wanting to do this. Like, I don't personally believe in ghosts, but I want to keep it that way. Like, I don't want to have some seance experience as a joke and it turns out that it's real and you end up the main character of your own horror movie. Like, no Ouija boards in the house.
Yeah, if my friends in high school decided they wanted to do a seance, I would be out, like, first thing. I'd be
yes.
like, no fucking way.
Like, I don't even care.
I'm good.
I don't even particularly believe in it and I don't want to start believing in it because I caused something, like... And I also just think it's disrespectful to, like, people who have died to sit there and be like, ooh, I'm going to summon you. Like, specifically in this movie, like, they want to summon these people who've passed to, like, work through their bodies as, like, a joke. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think that's so disrespectful to, like, the people who had died. So, like, in this instance, I wouldn't even want to do it because it's summoning demons and also because it's disrespectful to people who have passed away. So Mia, after she comes out of this experience of being possessed, she feels amazing. I guess apparently it makes you feel like warm and alive. And it seems like it was some kind of trick that the demons were doing to make the humans want to stay longer and pass the 90-second mark on the seance. It kind of gives them like a high. And it seems like it's probably similar to like sniffing glue and eating Tide Pods. Like, it makes them feel good, but it kills them. So don't do any of those things. Don't follow the fads, kids. They're usually dangerous. Unless it's like Uggs or something. Uggs
unless it's Uggs.
Or Crocs.
Uggs are
Crocs.
Expensive, though. That could be dangerous
I
to
know,
your bank
but
account.
They're really cute and comfy, and like you have little nub feet.
Little nubs.
I love Uggs. I think they're cute.
We should get Beans some Uggs.
Some pugs.
Some pugs.
They're called pugs when they're for dogs.
Wait, did they actually make them for dogs?
Yeah, they're called pugs. But it's not by the Ugg company.
Oh, I did not know that was.
Because I remember I showed you a picture of pugs and pugs.
Oh my gosh, you did that one time.
Yeah.
I forgot.
We had considered getting her shoes for the winter time because it's so cold here.
She would
It would take too long to put them on and she wouldn't like them. So like we're not outside long enough like with her that it would be like a problem. So now that this seance has ended, they immediately jump to them having a new seance another night. Of just their like immediate friend group. So like Daniel, Haley, Jade,
and then this
and
other
Riley,
guy,
and then Joss, who was another guy. He was like a jock in the friend group.
I could never understand what he was saying, I'll be honest.
I know. I had a hard time understanding what
his
he was saying.
His accent is thick.
So they're doing another seance and it turns into this like wild party night of like them doing it over and over and over and over again. And for some reason they think it's funny. I don't really see why it's funny.
Well, that's because they're teenagers. They're high schoolers.
They
that's
just think weird stuff like that is funny. So everybody goes around and they do it a bunch of times. And then finally at the end, Riley, the actual child, volunteers to go. And of course, his older sister is like, no, you're not allowed to. You're not old enough. And she gets upset. And of course, Riley decides he's going to do it anyway. And Mia basically gives the permission to him to do it because she is like kind of like a sister to him. And so he does it. And in my opinion, this is a very common demon trick that they have fallen for. Like, I just don't understand why they think that like this good feeling is like a good thing. Like it's obviously the demon tricking them. And the demon tricks them again, in my opinion, because Riley turns out to be possessed by Mia's mom. Mia's dead mom. And so, of course, Mia wants to talk to her and hear everything she has to say and like find closure with her mother after her mother has died. But because of that, Mia forces Riley to be possessed for more than 90 seconds and get controlled by the demons. You know, this is just
haywire.
Like, have you never seen a scary movie before? Like, do you really think that's actually your mom talking to you? Like, it seems more like her mom was like being like, what would you call it? Like a demon was faking being her mom in order to like get to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense why like her mom would possess Riley to talk to Mia and then proceed to like try to kill Riley while in his body. It doesn't make any sense. So I don't know if when they let the demons in, they're letting all of the demons in or if they're just letting in the one that they were looking at.
I don't know the parameters of the spiritual essence they were conjuring.
It made no
conjuring.
Sense to me. So the spirits then try to kill Riley. This part is brutal. I'm not talking about the details.
He almost,
watch it yourself.
Tries to take his eye out, but yeah. Then God, yeah.
It was brutal. So was it just the scene of Riley smashing his head that took an hour, or the entire party scene that took an hour?
The entire second possession scene montage was shot in less than an hour. Oh, the montage.
Just the montage. Okay, so that was just some like laughing on a couch and everything.
Yeah, yeah. But still, I doubt the filming of this took long at all. It's probably filmed in a couple weeks.
Yeah, they probably did do a very quick filming. Now they hospitalize Riley for his injuries, and he is alive still. And Mia is then haunted by visions of her mother. And Riley's family is blaming Mia for his condition and for letting him be possessed. So everybody's mad, and Mia, of course, is upset even more. So for some reason, Mia thinks it's a great idea to invite Jade's boyfriend over to sleep at her house because he lied to his parents about being out of town and he can't go home. So they're sleeping at night and Mia wakes up to see a demon in the corner and it comes up and starts eating Daniel's foot. And then Daniel wakes up to Mia eating his foot because it turns out that the spirits can kick you out of your body and force you to watch them wreak havoc.
Quentin Tarantino's favorite scene in the whole movie.
And so Daniel, of course, leaves after that.
As would anybody.
Yes. Do you have any fun facts? Are you saving them for like a certain time?
I only had 3 fun facts. There were not a whole lot. Nothing related to that scene, fortunately. They made 6 hands for the movie should any of them happen to get damaged or broken.
Did any of them get damaged or broken?
Unknown. But the director kept one of them because, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Of course you should if it was your movie.
Yeah.
Like, keep one of them. Yeah.
Cause, and it's a cool, like, little, like, trophy. Or not trophy, but, like...
It's a cool way to remember what they did. Like, yeah, a little memorabilia. I understand that. I feel like actors always try to, like, take little bits from their movies.
And they've already greenlit a sequel because it's already made a bunch of money.
I'm not going to watch that.
And I think it's going to be called, like, Talk to Me, you know.
Talk to Me? Oh, don't. They shouldn't do that. Are you joking? Was that a joke?
No, or do people really think that? I don't know. They might.
I really hope they don't do that. They're going to turn it so cliche.
Yeah, I think that's a good title.
I think it's awful. Like Dumber and Dumber 2 with like T-O-O.
Those movies are like garbage.
Okay, so Mia then decides to do a solo seance just to talk to her mother. Her mother then tells her that she died accidentally and it was not actually a suicide, like some people say. And she tells her that Mia needs to go help Riley. During this time, Riley is at the hospital and basically injuring himself extremely bad. And his sister Jade is watching it happen. This is the point where I left. I couldn't take it anymore. I've been covering my eyes for like 10 minutes. And I just didn't want to watch or hear it anymore. So I left. So now this is all hearsay from the internet. So you're going to have to, you know, tell me if I'm explaining it right or not.
Okay.
So the gang tracks down Cole, who was the guy whose brother at the beginning of the movie stabbed himself in the head. And Cole reveals that his brother had been given the hand by Joss. And the hand is what had gotten him possessed and the reason why his brother died. So he said that Riley's body will inevitably kick the spirits out, which doesn't make sense. Does that mean he basically needs to survive or something?
Wait, what did he say?
He said that Riley will inevitably kick the spirits out of his body.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay. Well, you're a great source for the movie.
I don't remember that. I'm
I know.
Sorry.
I was like, that's interesting. So Mia, for some reason, gets the idea that they have to redo the entire seance with Riley, but they need to actually blow out the candle in order to close the door in order to save Riley. But that
they
doesn't make any sense to me.
Blow out the candle the last time.
Because so the candle was still burning or something?
I guess it must have still been burning, but I also don't see how it could have been burning
that long
when Riley was thrown across the room at like 100 miles an hour.
I know, there would have been quite the gust.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
So, so they do another seance, but instead of getting anywhere, they just see the spirit of a little girl in the hospital who is showing Mia a version of Riley that's being tortured in the limbo space. What was this?
So, yeah, like Mia's tries to, like, with Riley in the hospital with Jade reluctantly, and they put the candle, put Riley's hand on the hand, and then say, talk to me, and then blow it out, but it doesn't work.
You didn't at all answer my question. You just explained what the seance was. Like, there was some little girl?
Yeah, a little girl saying that Riley's being tortured in limbo. I know what part you're talking about now. Then she has visions of and like this orange hue of like dead bodies, like, or not dead but alive dead bodies, like gnawing and clawing at Riley,
trying to get into him.
Yeah, like he's like covered in them.
Oh, okay. So Mia then goes home, where her dad tells her that her mother actually killed herself and left a suicide note that he didn't tell her about because he didn't want Mia to blame herself for her mother's death. Mia goes to her bedroom to talk to her mom because she just has easy access with these seances. And her mother tells her that her dad is lying, in that same moment her dad comes in and attacks her, but it's really a hallucination. But as she's fighting off her dad's hallucination, her dad actually comes in the room. The vision disappears and Mia stabs him in the neck with a pair of scissors.
Yeah, that scene was pretty brutal.
So what was the hallucination? Like, could you tell it wasn't her real dad?
Yeah, you could tell. Yeah, it was him just like attacking her and then choking her on the ground.
And then at the same time he comes in and she kills him.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's really brutal. I don't really understand at this point why she's still trusting her mother's spirit, because it has already lied to her about saying she didn't kill herself when in reality it was a suicide. So I don't really understand that, why she's still trusting her mom. So after hearing her mom's advice, she is told by her mother that Riley has to die in order to be set free from the spirits. So Mia tricks his family into leaving the hospital so that she can kidnap Riley. And at the same time, Jade ends up going to Mia's house to find Mia's dad bleeding out, which I don't understand why Mia wouldn't try to help her father after trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And she just left him there. I don't understand. So the spirits are trying to convince Mia to push Riley into ongoing traffic because she has kidnapped him from the hospital. Jade sees, and she's trying to save her brother. And then you see a car hit somebody. And traffic all comes to a halt. And that's when you find out that Mia has been hit by a bus or something. So injured Mia is taken to the hospital, where she sees Riley has fully healed and is waking up. So I don't understand how Riley healed, I guess, because he eventually fought off the spirits. Mm-hmm. But she ended up dying. So she has now been taken prisoner of the spirits. So she sees her father in the hallway. She tries to get to him, but he is taken in the elevator. She then is engulfed in darkness and all of a sudden finds herself on the other side of the embalmed hand, which means that she has died and just been awakened in a seance by somebody else, because somebody else now has the hand. So she walks towards the hand, places hers on it, and then gets sucked into the body of the person who had called for her. And so I guess what happens is, like, if you die, you can be sucked into the hand. Like, are those spirits trying to get to the hand? I don't really understand. I don't know. They kind of left a lot of plot holes, but I guess that's why there's a sequel.
There's a sequel, yeah. I think it's a really good ending.
We didn't give our stars. How many stars?
3.5.
Agreed. 3.5.
No.
What are we going to watch next week? I actually really have to go. I have to be somewhere. So, like, sadly, we have to cut the podcast short.
I don't know what we're going to do for next week.
Okay, guys. We do not have an announcement for the movie next week, but we will
but that's fine.
Put it on Letterboxd. Yeah. So, reason to go follow us on Letterboxd. Okay. Bye.
Bye.